Well, good evening. Trust everyone's having a good week this week. Looking forward to our time together tonight. And, well, it's good to be here tonight. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord's Prayer. Brother Michael will come in, and we'll have start a new course. It's this 1st of July, so we'll start a new course for the month. Trust you know this song, He Paid a Debt He Did Not Owe. Will be our new course for the month of July. And looking forward to our Red, White, and Blue Sunday. Please don't forget, if you have not signed up, and you're going to be with us, please let us know. We've probably already put up the list. Just let us know. We will make sure we have enough hamburgers and hot dogs. I'd rather have too many than not enough. Even if you're not sure, but you'd like to, and you haven't signed up, let us know, because we really want to. It doesn't hurt to let some folks take a few hamburgers and hot dogs home with us, home with them if they have too many. I'd rather that than to run out. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings of joy and service and fellowship tonight. Pray that you bless our time together as we fellowship together, lift our voices in song. Lord, as we praise the Lord, as we rejoice in a missionary updates, Lord, what a blessing it is on Wednesday night and our prayer time together. May you be uplifted and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Lord, I pray you bless our time in your word. As we transition, may you be uplifted and glorified. May we be challenged and encouraged in this era as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're Bibles tonight, I know we'll be in various passages of Scripture, but we'll be spending some time in Proverbs chapter 5. If you want to turn there, then we'll, of course, you have most of the passages of Scripture in the handout that'll make it available, but we'll be referring back to chapter 5 a few times. All right, last week we had started on, I gave you an introduction on addiction, and we went through the introduction. I'm going to do a little bit of recaps of some phrases. I think they're important, and we'll go right into the first point and just cover one point. I think I want to slow down a little bit, maybe only do one, two at the most points on Wednesday night. I want to take some time if you have a question, or maybe the Lord spoke to your heart, something you want to add, or take some time at the end of it. I know we all, either some of us have struggled with addiction, some of us have family members that we've tried to help, or friends to go through addiction. I think it's important in this era that we understand that addiction is a wide scope. So often today we think of addiction, we think of drugs and alcohol, but there's more. There's sex, there's pornography, and the list goes on and on with addictions, and it's very real. And many addictions lead to another addiction as well. And so, if you think you have something that might benefit the congregation or anyone as far as praying, or even someone that you want to share, don't have to share a name to pray for that they struggle in this area, that we might pray for them or add to our list, but. I think so often, if we're not careful, we take things as we look at dirty sin. And by the way, all sin is dirty. But we classify some things, and we don't want people to know. We're ashamed. And when we do that, we're blocking the greatest power that we have access to in getting help, and that's the power of prayer and the number of people praying for a need, for a person, or for a circumstance. So don't stifle or don't squeeze off a potential a prayer partner or a prayer warrior. And I've shared this request before. I can remember growing up as a teenager, there was times I thought my youth pastor's wife had a direct line to heaven. Some of us older know, remember the mayor of Gotham City, he had the bat line he could pick up and get a hold of Batman. Some of us teenager thought Miss Ursula had that phone. She picked it up and said, Lord, he said, yeah, what can I do for you, Miss Ursula? I mean, it was just like that, because God answered her prayers. She was a prayer warrior. She was a mighty prayer warrior. And guess what? You may have one sitting right here in this auditorium that you don't even realize that can grip heaven and our Savior to intervene. And the best way to take advantage of that is we have a burden or we have a need is to share it. And sometimes addiction is one of those things that we're hesitant to share because we're embarrassed, we're ashamed, we don't speak out of turn. We're not asking you to give us details, but there's nothing wrong with sharing some information or some help or to ask for prayer. So please keep those things in mind as we go through this series. All right, last week we, as I mentioned, was in the intro to addiction, and I would like to remind you of two things about what we talked about last week before we continue. And the first one is, remember, addictions or being in bondage to sinful habits are the result of choices that we make. And that's the number one enemy with those involved with some type of addiction is they blame others, they blame something else, they blame someone else, but it's our choices in life. The great truth of the Christian faith is not that it makes a man free to sin, but it makes a man free not to sin. And too often we don't take advantage of what we have with mentorship and iron sharpening its iron and help in those areas, and we try to fight the battle alone. When we should remind ourselves we have direct access not only to our Savior who tells us to come boldly before the throne, but we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are more than willing to lift us up in prayer that God might do something. The book of Proverbs lists several snares that lead to bondage, addiction, and entrapment. And some of these snares describe physical entrapment, and others describe circumstantial entrapment. And so Solomon, a wise man, has much to say about what we can learn and what we can learn from him. So number one, the only point we'll have, but I will have some fill-ins along the way. Number one, the snare of the cords of sin. The snare of the cords of sin. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 5. Proverbs 22 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them." So thorns and snares or traps are, the Bible says, in the way of those who are froward. So froward is the word ikashe, which means crooked, perverse, and twisted. So those who are in that category, perverse, wicked, or twisted, are the ones he's referring to are being in the way. Sometimes people are not necessarily crooked, perverse, or twisted, but they're running with the crowd that is. And sometimes by not being a part of the crowd, but getting acquainted with the crowd could make you part of the crowd if you're not careful. Dad, I've often heard my dad say, "Son, who you been hanging out with?" just because of something I may have said or done that was out of character. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 6. "In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice." Again, we must remember, as Solomon warns us here, the devil does set snares, but we need to remember, we don't need to go out in fear and trepidation as a child of God. We just need to be alert and to be aware. See, sin binds or ensnares our lives if we allow it. Again, sin cannot bind us. Sin cannot ensnare us if we make the right choices and we resist and run. In other words, as the old Ron Hamilton song, I think it was, "Put Your Running Shoes On." There's a chorus in there somewhere. Brother Mike, you remember that song? It's a yes or no. Yeah. And I'll think of it later or think of it next week. I should have wrote it down, but it just came to me. But the aspect, what is wrong with walking away? What is so hard to just turn around and walk away or to say no thank you? But so much peer pressure that is among our crowd and our people today. And I'm just going to go ahead and meddle. Would you have ever thought in a million years in our lifetime growing up there would be a Democratic Socialist Association? But here we are. How many people, because they listen, how many young people are listening to what they think is a good idea and enjoying the camp before themselves doing the research, or if Christians looking at the Word of God, looking at what the Bible has to say? And there's so many younger generation, those in college and those getting degrees, that have been set the stage for many years in our colleges. They've been ensnared or trapped with this idea of socialism, been drawn into it. And because in many areas they are gullible because of what they've taught. And so many of them, it concerns me that they put their Bible down when they go to college. And that is a dangerous place for a man of God, a woman of God, a Christian, as they go to college, as they put the number one textbook in their life down to learn from heathens that may teach them something they need for a profession, but that we must keep the Bible before them. Let me encourage you to encourage those that you know in school, in high school, and college, how important it is to make that and keep that your main textbook in your life. Again, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22. "His own iniquities..." Again, "his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." Again, it's the choices that we make. I realize that some of us are in here tonight. We don't have as many young people as I would like to have. We are going to work on that. We are still working. In time, God's going to give us those things. And I think I'm just going to keep and preach as the Lord leads, no matter how old and how many are here and here or not. We have a website. We have people that can listen there as well. And we can take some of these things, hopefully, in counsel and use it to talk to other people that may come to us for advice or to talk to us and hopefully be a help to you. See, those who live in sin are trapped or gripped by it. And so often they don't even realize it. A man can be a king and still be a slave to his own sin. And a slave can be free because he has sought Christ's forgiveness and lives a godly life. Amen? So often we think of those that are trapped in bondage or in sin or in addiction some sort or another. We think of the down and out, the people that we see on the street. You'd be surprised how many lives in palaces and other places that have great addictions in their life and still need to be freed from the bondage of sin. Several words in this verse here in Proverbs 5 indicate the principle of the bondage of sinful living. And let me read that again. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Solomon says that the wicked are taken by their own iniquities. The word take is from the word lakad, which means to capture, to be trapped, to seize, to be snared. And there's no doubt many are caught in bondage and seized. It is used to describe an animal that was captured in a net. See, sinful living entraps the sinner. It entangles and complicates his life or their life. The truth is also confirmed by the word holden. Again, we see in Proverbs 5:23, holden. This word also is a Hebrew word, tomach, which means to grasp or to seize. So we see that twice here in this passage, the idea of being ensnared, trapped, or seized, or snared. What a clear description of addiction. Think about that for a moment. To be trapped, seized, or snared. To grasp or to seize. And that is exactly what's taken place, because though something you may have had yourself or hold in your hands, believe it or not, you may be holding it, but it's got a tighter grip on you that's restricting you or keeping you from a better thing. Beloved, sin grips, traps, or binds a person like a rope that is wrapped around them, like a python that coils and wraps around and squeezes. That's how tightly they have you ensnared. Solomon says that the sinner is held again with the cords of his sin. In other words, again, it's his own doing, his cords. The word cord here also comes from a Greek word, and it not only means cord or rope, but it also means pain, sorrow, and destruction. There's no doubt that addiction leads to pain, sorrow, in many areas, destruction, but so often people don't realize it's just not them that it's hurting. It's hurting them that are around them. Many of the different addictions, not just drugs and alcohol, but there's other addictions as well that not only affect and infect the individual, but those that are around them, those that their family, those that they're closest to, also can be impacted by the choices that they make. Mark this down, beloved. Sin leaves scars that can affect a person for the rest of his or her life. And I'll say this again later, but I'm going to say it here. The scars may be there, but you don't have to relive the memory over and over and over again. I could take off my shirt and show you scars on my body, as well as my hands and my elbows, even scars below my waist. But I don't dwell on what led to those things or what caused those things. If my grandkids sometimes will ask me, "Papaw, what is that scar from?" And some of those stories are easy to tell without difficulties. Others are maybe a little more difficult. But I don't have to relive those scars that may be unseen. And the scars of sin, we don't have to relive. But Satan wants us to relive them because it prevents us from serving him in the present. We may be disqualified, and I've said this in previous days or years in preaching. There may be some sin in our life that disqualifies us from certain offices in the church, but it doesn't keep us from serving the Lord and being used of the Lord. There's so many things within the church that are great need, that are very effective in ministering. whether it's teaching in Sunday school, working with the children, or some other aspect, and mentoring someone, helping in discipleship. Those areas are key and needful in the ministry. Don't allow Satan to remind you of your scars to keep you from being a blessing and being used of God in another area of your local church. Again, their sin is like a rope that links them to the failures of their past, because the rope or their sin is constant reminder of what they did. What they thought was going to be fun is no longer fun. Their good time ended a long time ago, and now they are left with nothing but misery, heartache, and regret. And for those of us who have never lived that, or had an addiction, or those of us who don't know someone or a close family member that were involved in addiction, you may not fully understand. Most of my concerns with addiction is some has been with counseling, and some of my family members has mostly been with alcohol, and a close friend with drugs. It's hard, and it affects so many people around us, but they can overcome and they can see through with help and with encouragement of those around them. It's important. The scissors of self-effort or self-help can never do the job of cutting away or freeing a man who is caught in the trap of his own making. So often is getting that person to understand and realize they can't do it themselves, that they need to ask for help. They need to be willing to receive help, because when a person is not ready to receive help, they're not ready to get through it. As many of you know, I was involved in helping churches for 8 years or so, the churches that were struggling pre-COVID, during COVID, many of them without pastors, many of them almost closing their doors. And Michelle and I went in trying to help them. But the number one rule that I had before I would go help a church, they had to actually ask for help. I would get people to call me and say, hey, this church needs help. This church needs help. We might get a phone call from a church that would ask if we would come and help them out or give them some counsel. And one of my requirements were they had to face and realize that they needed help. They had to ask for the help. And the church body had to vote me in as interim pastor through the process. And I explained to them, an interim pastor means I have no vote. I'm just here temporarily. I'm here to move on. But the key ingredient is they had to realize they needed help and they had to ask for it. Because a church that doesn't want help can't be fixed. They don't recognize their need. They can't. And the same thing with those who are involved in struggling with sin or an addiction. Until they realize their sinful condition, until they realize they need Christ, until they realize they have an addiction, they can't be helped unless they ask for the help. And the greatest help that mankind needs, bar addiction or no addiction, is they need Christ in their life. That's number one, no matter what their standing is, with or without an addiction. But again, they must realize that they need the help and ask for the help. See, evil deeds can eventually become evil habits. Evil deeds will eventually become evil habits. The book of Proverbs was written to warn us of the cords of corruption that can incapacitate and ruin your testimony and your influence for Christ. Again, those cords of corruption, they just completely destroy any influence you may have in ministering to others for Christ. The rope of lust, laziness, and loose ethics are well described by King Solomon through Proverbs. They lead to pain, they lead to sorrow, and they lead to destruction. I read of an unknown drug addict that confirms the despair of the sinful bondage and addiction. And this poem was found in a Long Beach, California telephone booth some years ago. King Heroin is my shepherd, I shall always want. He maketh me to lie down in the gutters. He leadeth me beside the troubled water. He destroyeth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of wickedness for the effort's sake. Yea, I shall walk through the valley of poverty. I will fear all evil. For thou, heroine, art with me. Thy needle and thy capsule try to comfort me. Thou strippest the table of groceries in the presence of my family. Thou robbest my head of reason. My cup of sorrow runneth over. Surely, heroine, addiction shall stalk me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the damned forever. Again, found in a telephone book in Long Beach, California. Later found out it was written by a heroin addict. You know, we can substitute and take that word heroin out and put in sin. If you think about it, how many types of sin and addiction have ruined families and ruined a person's life? It is ironic that people will brag about the freedom to do as they wish and don't care what anyone else says. They want to be in control and call the shots of their lives, yet sinful addictions bind them and rob them of freedom and control by draining their strength physically, emotionally, spiritually, or financially. Some find themselves bound in hospitals, psychiatric wards, jails, or prisons because of their sinful or criminal activities. They have lost control of their lives and are held with the cords of their sins of the past. You see, sinful living hinders the freedom of a person to serve Christ, even though he has repented, because he has severely damaged his Christian testimony. Dear friends, again, there was someone I said, damaged. Damaged things can be restored. Damaged things can be repaired. But Satan does not want us to think that way. Can God still use such a person? Yes, he can. Can his sinful past create limitations in his service? Unfortunately, the answer is also yes. But beloved, guard your testimony for Christ and don't throw it away. Again, guard your testimony and don't throw it away. If you have damaged your life by sinful living, simple answer is repent of sin and seek for forgiveness of the Lord. And here's the goodness thing about it. He will cleanse and forgive you of what you have done. Isn't it wonderful to know that he forgives? But then again, it's the asking, it's the approaching, it's the realizing you need help. This is a promise to us. No matter how bad your past is, there is forgiveness and cleansing and restoration in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the hope and the source of joy for the Christian. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we preached on this several weeks ago. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His promise is there, but our part is if we confess. That is written to the saved person. If we confess our sins, he will forgive. So don't let Satan talk you out of serving today because of your past addiction or your past sin. There is no sin, there's no struggle, there's no addiction, there's no complication, whatever you want to call it, that God cannot and will not forgive. Again, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. So before we close tonight, it's easy to get hung up on the idea of drugs and alcohol, but what are some other addictions in our world today that people struggle with? Michelle? Social media. I mentioned that last week. Huge addiction. Dear friend, let me tell you something. You may have this phone in your hand, but what you don't realize, sometimes that phone has you. And if you cannot limit and you cannot put it down for a period of time or a free time every single day and you must go to it, that's called an addiction if you can't go without it. But yet it still can be overcome. Social media, drugs, alcohol, what else? Brother Mel? Pornography. Would you believe today, I believe because women tend to be more honest than men, but when you look at the statistics with Pew Research, pornography with men and women, they're very close. And I wonder if there's probably a bigger gap that just more men are ashamed to admit it than women are willing to reach out and ask for help. But pornography among men and women. And by the way, in our generation, here's where it begins. It's a thing called sexting. Folks, once you see something, you can't unsee it. Once you hear it, you can't unhear it. It's there, and the devil will use it. It's a danger. Be careful how you use it and block it. I tell my grandkids never pick up my phone because they know, they'll tell you, well, that's Papaw's tool. He has no games on it. They'll tell you that but I guard myself. I have no social media. I have no social media account. If you see my name out there on Twitter, Facebook, anything else, it's a fake account. It's not me. I don't have it. That's my safeguard as a pastor as a father and a grandfather, husband, that I have chosen. I'm not telling you you're wrong if you have it, but I'm telling you if you do, you need to have safeguards. My wife knows the password of my phone. My daughters know the password to my phone. My oldest teenage granddaughter is soon to know the password on my phone when their parents allow her to know it, because I want full accountability for my own protection as well. Anyone else? Any other form? Brother Kevin. Money. Again, money is the root of all evil. We talked about that a little bit last week. We'll get into it more. There's nothing wrong with having money as long as the money doesn't have you. Again, there's a big, big difference. Brother Mel. The love of money. There's again, the love of money is the root of all evil. Nothing wrong with having it. I've got some in my pocket. It's just if it doesn't have you. Brother Darrell. Gambling. Boy, we live in casinos everywhere. It leads to so much addiction, and it leads to poverty and other things if you're not careful. Ms. Jordan. Gossip. Yes. Oh, my goodness. From a young lady. I'm telling you. I think sometimes some of our young ladies can be the very worst in general. Remember, James tells us to guard our tongue, to watch out. You want to do a study on the tongue? Read the book of James. He warns us it could be a tongue can be detrimental and dangerous and vindictive to many areas. Good, very, very good. Some good ones. Anyone else? A couple more minutes, Brother Mel. Yes, untruth of any kind. And most of the time, untruth is usually gossip and spreading thereof. And it can be contagious. I had a preacher tell me a long time ago, if I probably won't get this right. I'll try to get it for you next week if I get it wrong. Weak minds talk about people. Strong biblical minds talk about ideas. And sometimes we got to watch yourself. If you're on the phone talking with someone, does it tend to go off the rails if you're on the phone more than 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes? If so, just learn to curb your time with that individual if it tends to go there, that it doesn't reach that point. Okay, that's another. Daryl. Television. Again, can be very addictive. I know my grandkids are getting in that area where they're getting frustrated because they're being told that's enough. One of my teenage granddaughters doesn't have an iPhone. Mom and Dad says they don't need it. It doesn't matter. She's in junior high. Don't care if your friends have it. We know what it leads to. You don't need one. And they have a very simple basic phone that she has when she has ball practice. And so she can call her parents if there's a situation. Other than that, their history is checked. And they're very guarded. No screen time. They have limited to the very little screen time on anything, whether it be a TV, whether it be an iPad, whether it be an educational tool. The concern is it can lead into a gateway to other things. So even that, as well as television devices. Ms. Nancy? Online gaming as well. Again, I know someone who has a very difficult time of putting down their controller. But yet they'll tell you, I'm not addicted. It keeps me from thinking about other things. And I'm like, it keeps you from thinking and doing anything. Yes, anyone else? Brother Mel. Laziness and slothfulness. They just want to play. And we just got someone voted into Congress recently who spent 12 years in college and doesn't have a job, but yet they got represented. They're in the state of Colorado. It's unbelievable. Brother Mike. Gluttony. Again, being careful. Depression, anxiety, frustration sometimes leads. And I'll be the first to admit it. I've lost almost 50 pounds this year, over a year. I'm working on that. I tell you, food can be a comfort. When I find myself at times being discouraged or nervous about something, I find myself in the pantry. But I'm grateful for a wife now that doesn't have anything in the pantry. For me, it's all for the grandkids. I mean, the snacks and the goodies. And so I end up finding a piece of beef jerky or Slim Jim or something, and I leave and go back, and it's a good reminder. But I do get a few treats every once in a while. Michelle? Yes, work. If we're not careful, we become a slave to our job. And it's so important. I don't know how many fathers I've met through the years, especially when I was serving in the military, that wish they would have clocked out a little sooner and spent more time with those kids while they were young. But yet, addiction, and I'll be even ministry. I'm grateful for some of you men that ask me, Brother Sam asked me often, did you take a day off last week, Pastor? What are you doing with some of your downtime? Because it can become all-consuming. We went out with our kids and grandkids last night, and I left my phone in the car on purpose when we went inside to the building to do things with the kids and have games, because I wanted to try to be in the moment with them and realizing that surely anyone who needs me can wait an hour and a half or 2 hours, because I need some downtime as well. So whether it be in the ministry or in other areas, is being addicted to your job or to your work. Very good. Just another minute or two, we'll close it up tonight. Brother Daryl? So you're telling me you've reached your limit in your household. Brother Kevin runs a rescue in his property. Used to, yeah, still do. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Kevin. Yeah. Brother Kevin mentioned worshiping your body or health. You're so obsessed with your body, you're so obsessed with your health that you go overboard in areas and restrict you from so many things. So you may not go out with people or go to certain places. You're afraid you might be tempted. Then you limit yourself to fellowship and spiritual encouragement by doing that. So yeah, there's a vast number of things that could cause us to be in grips. And by the way, money is a good thing to provide your needs. Having good health is a good thing to keep you healthy and fit. A job is a good source of income. And we can go down some of the things that were mentioned. Social media can be the right kind of tool. It's how we use it. And if it gets to the point that it's using you instead of you using it as a tool. And that's the big difference. Who has the grip, you or the addiction? There's the difference. Okay, we'll go ahead and stop there tonight at 7:37. Plus, you have a blessed rest of the week. Please encourage one another. Spend time with one another. Pray for one another. And let me encourage you, if you haven't in a while, invite someone within the church body out for a meal, a cup of coffee, play a game, do something together. Michelle? Yeah, our daughter Jessica is in Colorado. There are some massive fires there. They've been under warning of evacuation. She's also supposed to be getting married here, and she's worried that will interfere with the marriage. And so if you keep that in prayer for safety for those people in those areas, our daughter Jessica and her fiance, that the fire will go out or the wind will change and nothing will be changed. His name is Cam, and that those proceedings will be able to be carried out, but especially those families in the Colorado area. I can't remember the area, but I do know it's in Colorado. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, again, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word that warns us, even those thousands of years ago, warns us of things in King Solomon who wrote, and Lord himself having his own addiction, but yet warns us of so many things. Father, help us to take these things to heart, to be prepared, to be on guard, but also be willing to help and encourage those who struggle. Lord, help us to be the lighthouse that you would have us to be, and we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. For we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. So hopefully see you on Sunday.